Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Amen. So that's a thank you very much. That's an overview of the work that we're doing. And of course, you all are very much a part of all of that. And we're grateful that you're connected with us. And we pray that you feel like you're with us there. I mean, you know, you may not be there bodily, but you're certainly there in spirit and in partnership because we are partners and we're grateful for that. God's really good at causing things to be added to your account just because you're faithful to send. We're faithful to go. We do go all the time. We're always there. I saw Dr. Barclay a few times this week. Actually, this past month, we were with him. We were with him for a memorial, and then we saw him again at Pastor Chuck's. And then Doc looked at me and said, "You're going back, right?" I said, "Yes, sir. We're going back. We're just bumping into each other a lot here." Amen. We're there. We're not just living off the doles. We've seen that, unfortunately. We're busy on the assignment that God's given us to train pastors and church leaders. So we're excited that your pastor is coming very, very, very soon. Amen. You guys are excited about that? Yeah. Thanks for sending him. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to have a great time, and we're just grateful for the work that God has allowed us to do. And, you know, as I was praying earlier, you know, those things aren't, it's not something I just pray because, you know, it sounds right. I'm truly honored that God would use us and would call us sons and daughters, that He would have us even in some way involved in His kingdom and in His ministry. I count it a privilege. It's an honor. I think if we had, if Billy Graham, when he was alive, if he came to you and said, "Hey, come on staff with me," you know, you'd probably think, "Wow, this is amazing," right? Or, you know, Reinhard Bonnke, or, you know, one of these big, big earthly ministries, you know, if they called you up and said, "Hey, would you come on staff?" You'd say, "Oh, yeah, oh, yeah." Well, the serving in the kingdom of God, it's the greatest place. I think it was Charles Spurgeon that said, if God's called you to be a servant in His kingdom, why would you stoop to be a king? I like that. If He's called you to be a servant in His kingdom, why would you stoop to become a king? Hallelujah. The kingdom of God's the greatest kingdom. There's nothing greater. There's nothing higher. There's nothing better than the kingdom of God. And so it is a privilege. It's an honor to be considered a part of the kingdom of God, to be considered a part of the body of Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't deserve it. In fact, I did everything that I could do to not deserve it. Amen. Anybody can you testify? You were there? Amen. You were the one that said, "Lord, how could you ever use me?" But thank God He does use us. And thank God He welcomes us. I was thinking, I was meditating even last night and this morning. You know, our God's the a God of impossibilities. Everything He has done, everything was impossible. I mean, how many of us spoke worlds into existence? Not possible with humans. It's not possible, huh? It's not possible with mankind. From the very beginning of time, everything He has done has been impossible. And He hasn't changed, amen? He's not going to change, amen? He's always going to be the God of impossibilities. Amen. I just wrote them down last night. I was just meditating on this. Genesis 18:14. God said, "Is there anything too hard for me?" This is when He was talking about Sarah and her giving birth, becoming pregnant. And God says, "Is there anything too hard for me?" It's nothing too hard for Him. You know, sometimes we can really get wrapped up in our situation, and we have a mindset, and it's good that we work and we labor and we do what we can, and we work as adults to be independent, right? Amen. Amen. From a childhood, you know, we always wanted to tie our own shoes. Mom would start tying your shoes and you say, no, I do it. And so, you know, we work toward independence, but the kingdom of God is we've got to be totally dependent on God for everything. We can't do anything without Him. Amen. So it's a bit of a reversal of us depending on Him. Is there anything too hard for God? Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Amen. He's been doing impossible things from the beginning. Of course, we know Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's when He was speaking to Mary. With God, nothing. Say nothing. Nothing. What's nothing mean? Nothing. Not a thing. Is impossible with God. I don't know what situations you might be in and what circumstances you're facing, but nothing's impossible with our God. He can do anything. Maybe you need to remind yourself, He can do anything. Tell your neighbor, He can do anything. Amen. Now, the only thing He can't do is fail. He's not really good at that. He doesn't lose battles either. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited about that. Because there's a lot of things that we face in this life. You know, God never promised us an easy life. He never promised us an easy route. I'm just trying to encourage you this morning, if that's all right. Sure. Amen. You know, moving your family overseas and just changing, just pulling up everything. I think you all know a bit of my testimony, but I was a mechanical engineer. Come on, Shelby, let's go. Hoorah. Amen. And working in the automotive and, you know, vehicle sector. And the Lord said, it's time for you to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to a place which, thank God, He did tell us where we're going. Amen. But, you know, those things, that they're not easy. It's not a smooth route. We didn't have all the money that we needed when we moved. And we didn't really know what fully to expect, but we did it anyway, praise God, because God's a God of impossibilities and He doesn't call us to fail. That's not what he put something in your heart to do. We'll talk about that in just a minute, but he had a purpose. He had a plan. He has a program, and He's going to do everything He can to see it through. Hallelujah. He's a God of promises. Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with men, they are possible with God. I love meditating on those things because I realize my own limitations and my own weaknesses. And again, when we were moving our family, I felt like I was the least qualified to go. The least I don't know, responsible. I don't know what the right word is. I just thought, God, there's got to be somebody else that can do a better job. But I said, yes, sir, I'll go for you. I don't know what I have. I don't know what's in me. But I do know I'll do it. I'll be obedient. Amen. And you work the work. Praise God. Amen. Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter. Let's change it. Luke chapter 5. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Hallelujah. Amen. He's a good Father. That's who He is. Luke chapter 5. Now, these are all things that I'm sure you've heard many times before, but I'm likening them to my own self and our courage to obey God. In fact, that's, if you want to put a title down or if you're taking notes, it's that courage to obey, the courage to do the impossible. Notice Luke chapter 5. Where do we want to start? Let's start in verse 4. Now, Jesus, of course, he's teaching, and he's asked Simon if he can borrow his boat. Anybody ever borrowed a boat from you? And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Verse 5, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. Notice, you know, Jesus in this instance, he's pretty particular about what he wants to do. He wants to be a blessing to Simon. Because Simon gave him, you know, permission to sit in his boat. He's like, well, let me bless you because you did this. So let down your nets for a drought. I love it because that word drought, I don't know what your translation may say, haul, catch, right? There's something that's going to happen. Amen. God doesn't do anything without purpose. And even I would add eternal purposes. Let me add one more, generational purposes. See, what God's working in you and in your life now, it's not just for you now, it's for you now and for your future, your generations to come. You're laying foundation and fabric for those that will come after you. I'm so grateful that we had church fathers that defended the faith. They defended the scriptures as they are. They laid their lives down so that we could have an unadulterated Bible, holy Bible. Amen. I don't want to get too deep in that, but I'm just grateful for fathers today. Hallelujah. Church fathers. Simon answered, said, Master, we've toiled all the night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He's overcoming his human limitations to just say, yes, sir. It's not the right time. Like Pastor Mark was talking about, you know, there are times, there's right times to plant seed. There's wrong times to plant seed. We always tell the pastors in Uganda, the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. Man, it's deep. That's heavy revy right there. Woo! Glory. Don't fall out of your seat because of that one. Amen. Of course, the wrong thing at the right time is always the wrong thing. Amen. Timing's important. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he can make the impossible happen. It's not the right time, Jesus. Nighttime was the time. We've already cleaned the nets. We've already put everything up. This isn't the right time. Nevertheless, I'm going to obey. And he lets down his net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their nets break. Did what Jesus said happen would happen? Did it happen? Yes. Amen. It's clear that the word of God came to pass when they obeyed the commandment. Hallelujah. When God calls you to do something, he's not calling you to fail. When he's got a purpose and a vision and a calling within every one of you. I don't care where it's to. We all have our sectors and our areas of influence. And just because you're not a fivefold minister, that doesn't mean anything. You have a calling. You have an assignment. Amen. And God's with you. He's empowering you and he's ready to do the impossible wherever you are. Amen. I engage that wholeheartedly in my engineering career. In fact, we had, you know, if you know anything about cars, they're not always perfect. Sometimes things break. Sometimes things rattle. They make noises. And so we had a what they call a buzz, squeak, rattle issue with GM, BSR. And so I get called up. I'm the lead product engineer, and I've got to go and answer to all these guys. And I don't know if I was in Flint or Fenton. Anyway, it doesn't matter, somewhere. And I've got to figure out this issue. Our seat adjusters, we worked on the seat adjusters that then our customer would put the cloth on it, and then they would send the completed seat assembly to GM. So they're sitting in these seats, and it's just making a clunking noise. So I said, well, I really need to get this back to my lab in Tennessee and work on it. So they shipped it back, and I'm in the test lab. I don't know what's going on, so I just Laid hands on it. I made sure no one was in the lab with me. In fact, we have a sound chamber where you could listen to that stuff. So I closed the door. I laid hands on it and I started praying in tongues. Now you can think I'm silly, but man, listen, I got to take these things. I got to do it. I got to be a doer of the word, right? Amen. And so I'm laying hands on this. Lord, you got to show me what's going on. Show me where the issue is. Holy Spirit, you know exactly the problem. Amen. And I don't think I prayed 5 minutes and I knew exactly what the problem is. And I went and began to look at all of our engineering drawings and our specifications and tolerances. And I knew exactly what it was. I wrote a technical report for our entire company. My boss, he's from Yugoslavia. His name was Miralub. And he says, Brett, how did you find this? And I said, well, Miralub, I'm not sure you're going to believe me. He says, what was it? And I said, I prayed and the Holy Spirit showed me what the problem was. And he said, well, great job. I said, hallelujah. He said, you deserve a raise. I said, thank you. When will that be in my next paycheck? I'm going to tithe on that. You can believe it. Amen. And the entire company changed their tech specs because of this one particular issue that I found. And I wasn't looking to be, I just wanted to do my job. I want to be a blessing. Are you there this morning? Yeah. Amen. God's the God of the impossible. Yeah. Amen. And what others can't see, who knows how many other engineers looked at that and they just didn't see it. But praise God, God showed it to me. Amen. Amen. And so, of course, they let down their net. They have this great haul. They beckoned to their partners that they would come and help. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now, notice verse 8. This is kind of what I wanted to get to. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. These guys knew fishing, and they knew this is not common. Amen. The point that I want to highlight for us this morning is that none of us are able to do these things on our own. When God calls you to do something, you can't do it. But greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. He's going to call you to do something that you're going to have to rely on him to do it. You're going to have to seek him in order to fulfill it. That's how the kingdom functions. I don't know what I'm doing in Uganda, but God knows what I'm doing there. I wouldn't have chosen. Now, I'm so grateful for it. I wouldn't trade anything for my assignment. You can't have it. Okay? You can't have it. Just stay with what you got. I'll stay with what I got. There you go. Come on, Pastor Mark. Miss Phyllis, come on. It's all yours. Shandai, Shandai. Amen. Hallelujah. No, I love your assignment. Amen. I'm grateful that you have it. Amen. Why am I saying this? Because we've got to have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in order to do anything that God's called us to do. And the truth of it is, I know that I won't be the last hands on this ministry. In fact, I know that at some point in time, I'll have to turn the work over to someone else because God is generational. Hello. He doesn't do things for one generation and that's it. His program, his vision, it goes beyond you and I. That makes it a godly vision. If it can be done in one generation, by one person, it's probably not God. Turn with me to go back to Matthew. Are you okay this morning? I've watched God come through time and time and time again, and we've watched him do things that they're just absolutely impossible. And I would say the greatest one is that God would use someone like me. You know, I don't have formal training other than, you know, of course we have SMTI, but I never went to, you know, a theological Bible school training school like that. And yet here we are. He says, okay, I need you to, I need you to start a Bible school. Cool. How we do that? Amen. But I'm in good company, I think. Noah never built a boat till he built a boat. Right? Amen. Moses never delivered a nation until he delivered a nation. See, it's God who's working in you to do His will. He just needs us to say, yes, sir, I'll obey. Yes, sir, I'll go for you. Well, if you look at pedigrees of humans to do something, I've got the least of it. My human natural pedigree is a low class. In fact, my all the men on my family side, they were all drunkards, all of them. They were all alcoholics. So, you know, I'm not in that regard, I'm not bound for greatness. But see, that's what happens when God comes and changes a man and His word starts coming to pass in your life, and you get this new nature, glory to God, and you get a new family. And you belong to a new kingdom, and you're a citizen of heaven. And God changes you, and He says, I want to use you. He's not looking at the outside of the cup. He wants to know what's in it. Hallelujah. God's not looking on the outside, but on the inside. Matthew 14, are you there? Verse 25. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Cool. How many times have you seen that? Because He's the God of the impossible. I think He just did this thing, you know, just as a sign and a wonder. Like, just to remind you, He's God. Amen. Because He told the disciples, you guys go on over, I'll meet you. Well, He didn't say how He was going to get there. I don't know about you. This is cool. And so He's walking on the water, and the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Because who does that? I mean, is that where you expect Jesus to? All right. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus said to them, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. I love that. Every time. God comes to you, He's going to bring courage. He's going to bring faith. You know, and I've shared some of this with your pastor when he's been over, but I can't tell you how many times in recent that I've heard quit, give up over the past several years. And it's been really strange because I don't quit. I'm not a give up guy. I'm kind of the guy that just keeps going till something breaks or, you know, hallelujah. And it was probably about 3 years ago, your pastor was with us and I was just sharing with him. First time I was just praying. Actually, I had just woken up in the morning and I heard a voice said to me, you might as well quit now. And I was like, that's the devil. Anytime you hear quit, give up, yield, you're not going to make it. It's Satan. Just go ahead and put it in your database. Go ahead and just put it as a filter over your heart and your mind. That's the devil. Amen. And anytime fear comes along, it's always the devil. It's always the devil. Satan brings fear when he speaks to you. He's trying to get you afraid because he knows the impact that fear has on faith. And it can get you out of faith. Hello. Be of good cheer, it's I, Jesus said, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, your pastor preached this week. I'm not going to preach the exact same message, but he was dancing all over my message here. But listen to this. Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. Now, note, are you in verse 29? Are you reading? And all the disciples said, Peter, you can't do that. Come on, Peter, stop being like that. Is that what happened? See, I was meditating on this. And a lot of times, this is what can happen in life. Both of our parents, they wanted to talk us out of moving to Uganda. Now, we love them, and I don't think they did it out of nefariousness. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. We make them up as we go. I love making up words. My wife's the queen, bro, of making up words. I'm like, honey, that ain't... That's great intelligence. I would agree with that. I'm trying to learn from her ways. Our son's really good at that too. I'm like, bro, that's not a word. She's always like, yes, it is. Don't listen to Dad. Hallelujah. But people want to stop you. They want to talk you out of what God's called you to do. It takes courage, takes boldness to know that God can do anything. And you may be feeling like me. I'm not the guy to be up there. I'm not the guy to be doing it. But I'll say yes. Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. Here am I. Send me. God's just looking for availability. Think of all the things He wants to do in our area, in our community. Think of all the works that He wants to work. He's just looking for someone to be bold enough to do it. Think of all the people He wants to heal. I mean, he's a good Father. Hallelujah. He wants to use you. He wants to equip you. He wants to put something in your life that you can glorify Him with. And Jesus said to Peter, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus, period. Hallelujah. We want to sometimes focus on the rest, but man, he's the runner-up world champion water walker. Jesus being the champion, right? I mean, that's pretty incredible. And think about it, just to hike your leg over the boat, I don't know what it looked like, but just to step out takes courage. Amen. And that's the beckoning that God's going, just trust me. Jesus said, come. Peter knows that at your word, I can come. So Jesus said, come on. Or as we say in Tennessee, come on. C'mon. Come on. Yeah, do y'all say that up here? Okay, do you say that? No? Or is it y'all? Y'all, more y'all? All right, yeah, you can't say the L, it's just... y'all. Let it trail off. Hallelujah. Verse 30. But when the wind was boisterous, that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. This is what Satan wants to do. He wants you to get your eyes off of what's important. Get your eyes off of the call. Now, I love your pastor. He made the comment this week. He said, what did the waves have to do with anything? You're walking on water. I mean, if you're doing the impossible, right, what's anything else have to do with it? But the waves started to distract him from his assignment of coming to Jesus. And so he begins to flail. He was afraid. It's the very thing that Jesus told him not to be. Are you guys here this morning? Can you see yourself in Peter here? God's called you to do something, and man, it seems... too big. It seems too daunting. It's going to maybe change, you know, you're afraid it's how it's going to maybe pull you out of your comfort zone. Hello? That's not a comfort zone. On top of the sea is not a comfort zone. In the storm is not a comfort zone. Hallelujah. But if we're going to do anything for God, it's not going to be comfortable. All right. We don't like to hear that, do we? But it's what we need to hear. God's not concerned about your comfort. He's concerned about you fulfilling His assignment. He doesn't consult us. He never came to me and said, now, you know, Brett, I'm working on this thing in Uganda. I've been working on it a while. I've asked a few other people. But let me just talk to you about that. He didn't say that. He just said, here's the assignment, take it or leave it. I said, I'll do it. I don't know if I can do it, but I'm going to do it. With God, all things are possible, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we just obeyed. All right, praise God. I hope I'm in the right church today. Praise the Lord. And see along the way, God starts doing something in you. And He starts changing you. And He starts causing you to be the man, the woman that you always wanted to be, but you never knew how you'd get there. There's only things you can learn getting out of the boat. I mean, there's no one else that knows the sensation of walking on water but Jesus and Peter. And we tell people all the time, we couldn't become the man and woman that we needed to be if we stayed in Cookeville, Tennessee, in our nice little house and our nice little garden and, you know, our nice little jobs. But God, He's always stretching you. Even now, He stretches us. I'm thinking, Lord, we've done so much. And a couple of years ago, well, it was last year, actually, we were getting everything going with our school of ministry, and we've got our own place now, and things are running. Pastor, what time? I got to stop. Actually, a long time ago, probably. Are you guys okay? I just realized what time it was. Hallelujah. Are you guys okay? No one's nervous in the service except me. Hallelujah. I was like, oh, Lord, praise God. Where was I? Praise God. Oh, a nice little house, nice little garden, all that good stuff. And I told him, yeah, this year. Thank you. Whew. Hallelujah. Thank God for, oh, Lord, I done lost myself somewhere. Amen. Amen. But the Lord spoke to me and said, double your efforts. I'm thinking, we're doing what we can, Lord. I mean, this is a big stretch. You know, we went from having less than ample support. When we moved, we were probably 60% funded. That means we're paying for stuff. We sold a house, all that gone. We sold a car, all that was actually our car, the money we sold on our car was gone on the trip over, just going. Right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Isn't that right, baby? We get there, we're this is faith. We're burning on fumes. I know you guys have probably been there too, haven't you? And to go from that and God start to bless you. And then after a while, you're like, I'm breathing a little bit. I feel like it. And then the Lord says, hang on, hold on. Let's put it in another gear. And we're like, Lord, we just kind of got comfortable breathing. But He's calling us out in faith. And we wouldn't be where we are today if we didn't take another step of faith, trusting and believing God, just forgetting about the storms of life. Yeah, they're there. And God's not telling, Jesus didn't tell Peter, oh, yeah, there's no storm. It's just a figment of your imagination. He never said that. He just said, come. Don't be afraid. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at what you can do and what you cannot do. God's the God of the impossible. And when He's calling you, He's not going to call you to be comfortable. He's going to call you to be faithful, call you to be fervent. He's going to call you to be obedient. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord Jesus, I was thinking all the time, all the sweat we've done sweated. Lord, okay, it's not real terribly hot in Uganda, but it gets hot. That ain't comfortable. I mean, there's times where we're like, Lord, if we're going to sweat, we might as well be in Hawaii. Now that, we'll sweat there. Yeah, I'll suffer for Jesus there. Hallelujah. But He said, no, that's not where I need you. Amen. We just say, yes, sir. So He saw the wind boisterous. He was afraid, beginning to sink. Notice what He did. He cried out, Lord, save me. See, that's we have to continue to rely on Jesus. We've got to keep looking to Him. And I love this. I don't know how far Jesus was from the boat. Scripture doesn't tell us it was 5 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet. But he's walking, man. He's doing it. But in the midst of it, he loses his focus. We've all done it. Loses his focus and he begins to sink and he does the very thing that you're supposed to do. You call out to Jesus. But I love this. Immediately, what did Jesus do? Can you read that with me? Immediately, verse 31, Jesus did what? Stretched forth his hand. Notice he didn't say, well, look what you did. You on your own. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? I felt like that. We've got our van that we travel around with here, and we have our vehicles there. I can't tell you how many times stuff breaks down. We're like, Lord, I didn't call myself to Uganda. We didn't call ourselves here. We didn't call ourselves into the ministry. Lord, honorably, respectfully, you have a problem with your vehicle. Hello? Are you picking up what I'm laying down? Sir, there's a problem with your car. A couple years ago, we're in the U.S. Actually, we were with you all. I can't remember if it was before or after. Doesn't matter. We were, our van, you know, we've got this Chrysler Town. It's a 2013. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. We are grateful for it. But we're driving and this check engine light comes on. And that's like the light of doom. So we go to see what it is. And the guy says, well, that's a transmission problem. And that's a valve body problem. If you know anything about vehicles, that ain't good. And so we said, all right, what's the bill? And I'm thinking, if he says $2,000, I'm going to be like, that's a lot, but we'll do it. No, it ain't no $2,000. It was $6,000. And that's exactly what we said. We were like, we're raising money. We don't need to be spending it. So we're driving around. We're kind of reeling from it. We're like, Bobby and I are looking at each other like, Lord. So I said, Father, this isn't my problem. Respectfully, sir, it's not my problem. Your vehicle has a problem. Amen. And so we had to engage our faith and our trust that God will finish what he starts. And we pulled over. We had the kids with us. Now, that was a blessing because the kids got to see what God does. I thank God for that. Our kids have learned faith through the things that we've suffered. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we said, Father, respectfully, sir, this is your problem. It's your vehicle. It's not my problem. I didn't do this. I didn't intentionally mishandle this vehicle, and I didn't call me into ministry. This is your problem. And within 30 minutes, the repairs were covered. Amen. All $6,000 of it was totally covered. Amen. In 30 minutes time, wasn't it about that? We just prayed, and then 30 minutes later, everything's covered. So we went on with our time, rejoicing, praising the Lord, just hoping it doesn't break down until we get it fixed. Amen. But see, God knows how to take care of stuff. He does the impossible. What's impossible for you is totally possible with God. And so Peter calls out to him. And Jesus stretches forth his hand, catches him, says to him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Hallelujah. You might ask, well, why did God do these things in this way? Well, he wanted his disciples to see that he can do whatever he wants to do. He can do the impossible. He's not looking to humans to supply. He's looking to humans to just obey. Amen. He's looking at you. Will you obey? He's calling on you. And in the midst of it, as I was sharing earlier, you know, I had this, just Satan just speaking, a demon speaking in my mind, you might as well quit now. There was another season where, funds were tight and I was kind of tired of it. And so I started considering, well, can I do some engineering consulting work? Or you know how we get. Okay, maybe it's just me, but You've been there. You felt that way. And I was just meditating on okay, God, what can I do? And I don't want to dishonor you, but is there something I can do in the natural? And the Lord spoke to me very sternly, and I'll never forget it. The Lord said, can't you just believe that I keep my promises? That's all I need you to do is believe. In fact, you got time for one more verse? Are you sure? Okay. Ask your neighbor, are you okay? All right. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Are you sure we're okay? I came a long way? All right. Because I feel like, I don't know if this is helping you, but I'm preaching to me. Hallelujah. Mark, I was going to say Pastor Mark, but St. Mark. Amen. Glory to God. Did you help write this book? Amen. Notice Mark chapter 5, verse 22. We see that there's a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw Jesus, he fell down at his feet. Now, he didn't just bump into him. Jairus sought him out. And he besought him greatly, saying, my daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jairus is already communicating his faith that Jesus can do what he has heard that he is able to do. And we miss that raw faith of just childlike faith. God will do it. We put too many, clauses in the contract with Jesus. Like, you know, if I'm really good and if I'm, holding my mouth right and standing on one leg, he'll do it. Hello? Have you ever felt that way? You've done that. I know you're like, you got to say it a certain way. Even when you pray, you got to be like, you can't just say in the name of Jesus. You got to say in the name of Jesus. And then you know it's going to work. Have you been there? Okay, I don't. Maybe it's me. It's me and Pastor Mark. We're the weirdos, I suppose, right? But we put clauses and we add stuff to it. But he just came and he said, "If you lay your hands on her, she will live." But notice what happens in the process. Jesus says, "I'm on my way." Jesus, verse 24, went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Verse 25, and a certain woman interrupted Jairus' plan for his daughter's healing. Now, it's a good thing, and bless God, we know the beautiful miracle that happens, but how's Jairus doing? You ever thought about how he's feeling in the moment? Jesus, we got to hurry, man. My daughter, she's not going to make it if you don't come. Hello, have you been there? But he's the God of the impossible. Sickness is nothing to him. Death's nothing for him. He can do anything. Verse 30. Skip down. Verse 30. I want to go further. Verse 35. Okay, read verse 34. And when he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. She's got the miracle that she's desired of Jesus, and Jairus gets the worst news. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? There's no dead end. There's no end of the road with God. There's no finality. You know, a lot of times when we're going to Uganda, or even when we went to Uganda, there was a sense of finality that Satan wanted to put that fear on us. You're never going back. You're going to die here. All those things are coming at us. But with God, nothing's impossible. He can turn the worst situation around. He can turn the worst situation around. Whatever you're facing, God can turn it around. Hallelujah. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, as soon as he heard it, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." This is one of my, it's the most comforting verses in the Bible to me. Because we've all been pressing in for a miracle. We've all been believing God for a miracle, and stuff happens and things come in and life gets interrupted and life changes and finances change. Things go up and down, but Christ is consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God Himself never changes. His Word never changes. Hallelujah. His power doesn't decrease. He's not checking himself to see if something has changed on his side. It doesn't change. And if he called you, he's faithful to finish the work. And here he tells Jairus, only believe. That's what I need you to do right now. I don't need you to think about the fact that your daughter, she's breathless, lifeless right now. Don't think about that. I need you to believe that I will do what I said I would do. Hallelujah. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. He came to the house of the ruler of the synagogues. He saw the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in to them, he said, "Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." See, God calls those things which be not as though they are. Hallelujah. And not everyone's going to pick up on what you're doing. I mean, they think you're weird for being in church today. They'll think you're weird for being in church on a midweek service. Isn't it funny that, you know, when you're living in the world and you're running with the world, nobody thinks you're weird? But the moment you start serving Jesus Christ and doing things in the kingdom, they're like, "What's wrong with you? You're some fanatic." You didn't say that when I was smoking dope and drinking alcohol at 15 years old. Hello? Now I'm weird because I'm in church? But listen, I'd rather be weird to the world. I'd rather just be a weirdo to the world. Go ahead and say it. I literally had someone call me a Jesus freak one time. That blessed my life so much. I'm telling you. And the same person called me a Bible freak. I said, "You just keep adding blessings to my life. Keep on saying that. I am a Jesus freak." Amen. Glory to God. And so they laughed him to scorn, verse 40. But when he put them out, he took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. Of course, that speaks of authority, spiritual authority. He's got to take mom and dad in there. Verse 41, he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumai," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And Jesus said, "What are you talking about? This is what I do. This is what I do. I bring dead things back to life. I finish what I start. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I might call you to do hard things, but I'm not leaving you to yourself to do it all on your own." Jesus is, he brings everything to fruition. Hallelujah. He says, "I make all things new." And if there's something that God's spoken in your life, let me encourage you to activate that thing again if you've laid it aside. We have so many testimonies of healings and miracles and deliverances, and God has been so very faithful, and none of it's mine. It's all His. I'm grateful I get to do it. I was preaching in a church one time, and the Spirit of God was moving. And I'm finishing. I'm just wrapping up with an encouraging. And I'm preaching, but there was a stiffness in the air. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, Pastor Mark, but you're preaching and there's a stiffness, and there's a demon that's frustrating and buffeting the people. So I just recognized that. And so I began to try to pinpoint what's going on. So you know, we get real good at just cursing demons. Hallelujah. It's just what we have to do every day. Amen. Might help all of us to curse a demon a day. just to do it. You demon of doubt, I curse you out of my life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So I'm trying to pinpoint the problem. And I said, Lord, I know I can't say anything until you deal with this. So I'm encouraging you. I'm trying to find out what it is. And I said, you know, I was just ministering to some of the people there. And I said, you know, hatred brings demons. And this is true for all of us. Okay. Hatred brings demons. That bitterness, that anger, that resentment. There are demons that get connected to that, and they will buffet you. They will oppress, depress, and possess. So I start dealing. I could tell I was hitting the nail on the head, and I said, some of you're so full of hate, maybe because of something someone did to you. Now this is where we start getting into some serious ground, because you know things happen to people. But we've got to forgive. Yes. Amen. In fact, Jesus is real specific. If you're going to leave your offering and you know something's, you have aught against any, you got to don't put your offering in yet till you go and deal with that offense. Jesus said, I'll forgive you as you forgive those who have trespassed against you. Amen. So we've got to deal with that. So we're dealing with the demon of hate. And I said, and some of you take that hate out on your children. And as soon as I said that, there was a demon that manifested in the back of the church. And unfortunately, it was in a dear sister that was on the praise and worship team. And she stood up and she said, rah! And I thought, I'm not sure what's happening yet. Think that's a demon, but I mean, and she began to ran to me. She began running up the stage. I thought, well, this is different. And she's going, ah! And I'm not trying to make light of it, but it was kind of funny. I thought, well, all right, well, what's going to happen? And ah! And I thought, this is how Satan responds. He doesn't have any other authority or power over the Word of God, so he's got to respond violently and... Right. And anyway, I could go deeper in that, but I'll leave that alone. So the demon that was in that dear sister ran up. And so as soon as she got maybe 4 or 5 feet from me, I mean, she was coming straight toward me. I thought, this is really peculiar. And as soon as she got to the front, the anointing just manifested in the altar. And she got about 5 feet from me and kind of bounced and turned this way, and I was able just to reach my hand and touch her and say, be healed and be free in Jesus' name. And she fell to the ground perfectly free from that demon that was in her. Now, we had to pray with her and encourage her, because that's kind of embarrassing. I don't think she meant to get that. Amen. So that happens, and I knew I had total liberty. So we began to minister. Once that demon got dealt with, we were able to have perfect liberty in the service. And so we had all these brothers. I at the end of service, I said, if you need healing in your body, come up, man. They came up. People were getting healed left and right. There was a lady that said she'd had pain in her chest for 2 years. She said, I sat down, I didn't feel it, but as I left the church, she said, I realized my heart is perfectly healed. There was a gentleman that was in the congregation. He could just walk like this. And even he left out the door the same way, and he got down the road and he realized, I can straighten my back again. He had, in 5 years, he hadn't dug. Now for a Ugandan, they like to dig. It's just normal. It's just a normal way of life. You kind of have a garden, you plant potatoes, whatever. 5 years he hadn't been able to dig, totally healed, rejoicing, giving God the glory. See, when we obey God, he does the impossible. And I didn't know anything like that was going on. I didn't come there thinking I'm going to cast out demons and we're going to get people healed. I just said, we're going to come and do whatever God wants to do. And wherever you are, God wants to do something through you. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.